Let's pray. Father, I ask for your special blessing upon this time, because it is so much about your word and our study of your word and our preparation for what is truly a pilgrimage. And a pilgrimage is always marked by a time that's set aside for devotion to you. And we have been setting aside time to read, to study, to ask you to open our hearts, to increase our understanding, but not just for knowledge, but for us to be sanctified and to be more useful to you. And so that's our prayer. Through this hour we share tonight and through the 160 hours or whatever we'll share in the days ahead, may we all be more useful servants, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, on your sheets, first of all, I want to cover our team concept in both Rome and Israel. So if you look at the back side, you'll see your team. And basically, this is the group that you stick with, because many times we're moving around. We're moving between sites. In fact, if all of this gets going here, I'll show you on a typical day, we'll start in the city of Rome. When we're in Rome, the Domus Caesarana is here. 2 kilometers away is the Termini station. Our subway stop is San Giovanni, which is the Lateran. So we walk 8 minutes here. Now, in that time period, all of you can easily get lost, because what will happen is you'll see a pastry shop. Or your wife will see, you know what I mean? And so that's why we're in these groups. And so in Rome, let's see, we have a film team. Don't even worry about that. That's just the, you'll see them at the sites, but they come and go. Julia, my daughter, the Honduran missionary, is going to be traveling with the Olsons, and you don't know anybody else on there, but it's a wonderful Exxon. Wow, is he with Exxon anymore? He's an oil executive. I don't know what Jim does anymore. He used to be with Exxon. And his daughters, and missionaries from Honduras, and you will love them. The other group is with my other Honduran daughter, and the Logans, and the Sheffers, and the Drents, and the Cronins will be with them. Now, you guys will know each other, and you know Estelle. And so what we do is we say, for example, the first day on Sunday morning, right here is where our morning worship service will be. It's at Domitian's Baths. They call them thermes, thermals, but at Diocletian's, or actually not Domitian's, Diocletian's Baths. So we will walk here, but the trains will run from here to here, and from here to Barberini, and we can't all get on the same train. And so you guys will take off in groups, and we'll see each other, and the subways go, and you'll be going through all of underground. And here at Barberini, each of your guides will already have been everywhere we're going, and whichever group gets there first will walk up to Diocletian's Baths and wait for us. You'll find the film crew is already there. They'll look familiar to you. Then your group will get there, but don't worry about this mechanics. But that's why we have groups. And the person that's leading your group has been everywhere you're going, and even if you never see us, they will get you there. So you can be resting assured that everything will work out. And, of course, probably Earl and Bob, our group, I will probably be abandoning you, and you'll have Bonnie. So you'll get to protect her, because I'll probably be up with the film crew. But Bonnie knows Rome like the back of her hand. So that's for you to understand Rome, this idea of we're using the subways. And there are many, many, basically the subway system of Rome is like a big X, you know. It crosses at the Termini here, and you don't even need to worry about anything. But in Israel, the three groups are a little different. We're not riding any subways there, but in the Old City, those of you that are going to Israel, Earl knows, we get strung out. And so we post people at corners, but this is to help at any moment in Israel. Either I or Ted or Jim is going to know where everybody is, so you guys will get to know each other in Rome, and it'll be fun. So I just wanted you to understand that. Now, let me get to the next point there. Any questions about the teams? All it is just our organization, and you will enjoy it. Now, the way we'll know each other, both when we get there and along the way, are our name tags. I have Bob's, and I'm going to give it right now to him. But what you have in there is a lanyard right here, and then you have two luggage tags. And the reason, or the way you can tell the difference between them, there's Bob's lanyard, and you wear that. You don't have to wear it in the airport unless you want to, but in Israel it's paramount. Because what happens is when we get to places we're eating, they are looking to make sure you're in the group. They're very, you know, tight on that. In Rome, it's not as important that you wear them, but we just wear it so everybody knows each other. But these are designed for you to put on your bags. You say, I already have my, you know, American Express or whatever. It's for two things. One thing is for the porterage, especially in Israel, that's already paid for. It's so that they see our little group is the same because they get all of our bags outside our doors at each hotel and move them for us. And this is our identifying factor. And you put your own little address label on the back so it's you. You can have many other bag tags on your bags, but make sure you have these on your big bag and your smaller bag or whatever combination you have. So this is primarily for the porterage part. And you can remove them if you're going off on a cruise or going to Finland or wherever else you're going. Or you can leave them on. I actually have, they're kind of like skiing tags. And I have, some of my bags have many years of trips on them, you know, and they just kind of all flutter there. But, thank you. Thank you. This is Dan Smith. If any of you don't know that, he's the man behind all the technology here, and we're thankful for him.
Wow.
What a blessing. So let me see if I can get back to or where I am. There we go. Let's get all the way. This is perfect. Okay. One of the things you'll see here on the sheet is preparing your maps and journals. If you look back down at your sheet, one thing that all of you might have in the back of your mind is how are you going to get from Rome or from Tel Aviv Airport, the Fiumicino in Rome or the Tel Aviv airport, how are you going to get to us? The only one you have to worry about are those of you that are going to Rome. And this is just right off of Rick Steves' travel guide, and it's also on the Internet. To get from, you're all coming in at different times to Rome. To get from the airport to the Termini, you get your luggage, and you follow this, and I will email this to you. This is actually the Italian sign, what it says. And you have to go two floors above the airport. So you ride the escalators up, and it's fun, and it's kind of a river of people. Everybody is usually either going out to the curb to a bus, which is fine if you want to do that. But I'm just showing you this way. The bus is slower and costs less. And crowded, and this is more exciting and costs more and faster. So you buy a ticket to the Termini at the, that's the name of their train station, the FS ticket counter, and one of the machines, you can use your credit card if you want. It costs 11 euros, and euros are about $1.40, so it's about, you know, $15. There's a yellow machine that looks kind of like a fire alarm machine, only it's yellow, and it has a little dock, and you stick your ticket in there, and you'll see everybody doing it. They walk up and they go, tsk. It's like punching in your time clock. You don't have to validate it, but if you don't, they throw you off the train. And don't worry if any of these things you don't do. There are 20 million tourists that go to Rome, and all of them get through this process. In fact, I've never validated my ticket, and I've always worried that they were going to throw me off the train. And it's because I always forget. So, but try and remember to validate your ticket. And then you take the train, it's called the Leonardo Express, to the Termini. And that's the only place it goes. It just goes from the airport to the Termini. It takes, 31 minutes. It's 37 kilometers. It runs on the 5 and the 35. And, I mean, it's simple. We figured it out all by ourselves. So that is probably getting to the Domus is the only hard part of this whole trip. So the next part of this, just for you to see this, here is where the Leonardo train. This is the Google map of Rome. This is the Termini right there. That's where the Leonardo lands. And then the hard part, second hard part, is getting the 2 kilometers. This is where we're staying. You can't see anything. It's the green bump. That's the Domus Sessiorana. And this is where all the trains arrive. You have endless opportunities to get from here to here. The red dots are subways. That would really be a challenge to do it that way. Probably the best thing to do would be to get a taxi and pay the 10 euros that they will take you, and you can sit in the front seats of the taxi. So 4 people can ride in a taxi if you don't have too many bags, or 2 or whatever, those 2 spots. It's 2 kilometers. It takes 23 minutes to walk. You just walk down the train station and walk to the big piazza and come. But it's horribly hot, and I wouldn't suggest it. In fact, I got lost last time because I wanted to buy ice cream. And I took 1 turn too many and shouldn't. So, but just this is the airport to the Termini down to the Domus. Now, how do you know when you get to the Domus? And how the directions is the Piazza San Croce, or the Piazza of the Cross in Jerusalem. That's their address. What they tell you, this is right off their website, and this is their website, Domus Sessi or Sessoriana Hotel in Rome, .com. And if you go there, it will say from the Rome Termini Station, take the subway, Metro Line A, get off at the San Giovanni stop and walk to the east or ahead, it says, until you get to the Piazza of the Holy Cross in Jerusalem. It's 1,500 feet. So what I would say is the very cheapest way to get from the Termini is to spend 1 euro to ride this train. And if you have your maps, I suggested, it has a subway map, the Termini, it tells you Metro Line A, it tells you, and you know what subway maps look like. It'll show you the Termini, and it'll show you the stops, and it'll have San Giovanni and something else. And so here's the Termini, and you want to go the one that's going toward that, Anagnia, or Anagnia, or whatever that is, and it'll say that. You'll see that on the map. And you'll see this Giovanni stop, and of course you'll have your map in hand, so you get off at, you get on at the Termini. It costs 1 euro to ride this thing. Go whoop, you come up out of there, and right there is the Domus. It's 1500 feet, 500 meters. So the only reason I'm telling you that, if money matters to all of us, but a euro is $1.40. So in other words, you can get from the Termini to the Domus for $1.40 per person, or you can take the taxi, which will cost about $15. This will mean dragging your suitcase downstairs on the train and 1,500 feet. So Bonnie told me, honey, what did you tell me?
Take a taxi.
Okay, good. But I just wanted to show you that. So you should have your map prepared. Now let me show you one more thing about your map. Let's see. I didn't bring my map because I forgot it and I didn't go home. But in your map of Rome, I would encourage you. Yeah, there, Sam has one. In your journal, there are 11 sites that I've told you about. Each one of them you can find on the map. And what I've done on my map at home is, like Domitian's Baths, Diocletian's Baths, I've circled it, and I've put down the number it is, you know, number 1 in our top sites. And then the Colosseum, whatever number that is in your journal. And I've just used a Sharpie, you know, magic marker. And so mine has the places we're going and having our devotionals. Like there's the Vatican over there, and the Mamertine is right there, and the Lateran, you know, is down south, and San Clemente's here. And I just numbered them with my Sharpie just because I wanted to get familiar with the map. And Bonnie, how long did it take you to find the first one?
Oh, a while.
Because it's in Italian. It's Terme.
I had to use the internet first to find out what it was called in Italian.
But you don't have to do this. But if you do this, it will get you seeing, because in my mind, I have the city of Rome. I can see the city of Rome in my mind because, you know, I've worked on my maps many times. And I know that our hotel is down here, and the Populo is up here, and the Vatican is over there, and the whole Roman Forum is right there, and the Colosseum's here. And so you just kind of, in your mind, will have that for not only on your free day, but for as we're traveling, you will notice you will be going by stuff as we travel and walk between these sites. So the more you study your map, the more wonderful it will be. And what point two is, that if you mark in Rome especially, the sites we're going to on your little map, like I think Dave has already done that. This is, I'm preaching to the choir, and Tammy's already done this. Probably most of you have. It'll just familiarize you more completely. So I'm getting into number three. This is how we transfer between the domus. Now let me show you how you get back because, well, I'll come back to the money. Let's see. Okay, Rome transfers. That's all of us leaving at the end of the trip have already been arranged as part of the trip. And it's on Thursday morning, June 28th. You all know when you're leaving. If you're leaving on Thursday morning, you're not. I don't know. I think the rest of us are. You guys are transferring, but not to the airport. But basically, the departure times you gave me, some of your flights are leaving at 6:30, some are leaving at 8:30, and some are leaving at 11:30. To transfer from downtown Rome to the Fiumicino Airport, you have to leave your hotel 3 hours before. So there are going to be three shuttles that are leaving. For the 6:30 departure folks, you have a 3:30 shuttle out in front of the Domus. For the 8:30 gang, you have a 5:30, and those sleepyheads get to sleep in and eat breakfast. The 11:30 departure people will leave at 8:30. So the three shuttles are for the... Now, I know some of you are leaving, like there's someone that's leaving at 7:40. You know what? You're going to have to go with the 6:30 crowd because you will miss your plane if you go with the folks going at 8:30. So when we're in Rome, I'll show you how I have you charted. But basically, there are three groups that are getting transferred from the Domus. Now, the rest of you that aren't going that morning, you can just take you'll know the subway so well, and you can ride the Leonardo back yourself. And for those of you that are leaving later in the day, you don't even have to check out of the Domus until noon, and you can sleep in and eat and enjoy, and they'll even watch your bags while you tour around. What time do you all leave?
7:45 p.m.
And what time do you all? But you know what I mean. But that's what it is. So that's how the transfer is. Now, what about Israel? Well, the good news is in Israel, 15 of us are arriving in Tel Aviv at 3:55. 7 of us are arriving at 2:05. And so here's how it works in Israel if you're going to Israel. If all the flights arrive on time, the tour bus with Dr. Ben Meir will probably take two trips because it's only 20 minutes from the airport to the Renaissance. But almost always, they are late. The flights into Tel Aviv are late for whatever reason. So probably the early group will have to wait. Now, if you don't want to wait, you can just tell us you're going to the hotel because you want to get there and see Joppa. you can share a taxi. And if you want to meet Ellie, as soon as you arrive, you come out the arrival hall, do your passport. As soon as your passport is stamped in Israel, you go through these doors that open. And when you come out, it's just a little area like this. And on the right, you'll see all the food and all the stores. Now, of course, there's a ring of people greeting and they're holding signs up. But where you'll meet Ellie is just off to the right. You just go to the right where the stores and food court are. And you'll see Ellie there, and some of you will recognize him. But what you will notice is that's when you're wearing your name tags, and he will notice you. Bonnie and I, are on that 3:30 group, so we will already be at the hotel when you get there, because we're not arriving at 2:05 or at 3:55. We are leaving on that really, really early flight. But you will go there and either ride the bus if you want the freeway, or you can go on the taxi. Now, what's interesting is the Renaissance is right on the water on Hey Arkon Street, right at the marina. The hotel does not provide shuttle service. If you want to not take the tour bus, it's $95 one way for a limousine for three people. Taxis that can hold four people are $45 one way. So I just say that for some people, they just are itching to get to the Mediterranean Sea, Joppa, while it's daylight. If there are four of you, it's only $10 a piece. So you can just not stay at the airport, because you see, if you arrive at 2:05, this group arrives at 3:55. By the time they get through customs and get their bags, it will be 4:30. So it's easily a two and a half hour wait. And the only reason I'm telling you about other options is if you have been up since 3:30 and don't want to sit there in the arrival hall and wait for the bus, you can make it. There is a subway, but it's very complicated. And if you want to use the subway, you can read about it. It is possible, but it's hard. Israel is not big on subways. So what I'm basically saying is, if you don't like to sit for 3 hours and wait for the group, if you spend $10 a piece, you can get to the hotel. This is how you do the subway. This is right off the Ben-Gurion Airport website, and you can see the different stations. And no matter what you do, you'll still have to take a $5 taxi minimum from this station to our hotel. So it will cost $3 for the subway ride, and then another probably $10, but two or three or four people. So I'm just telling you that. So you can, if you don't like to wait, you can get the ride. So that's all the transfer stuff. Now I'll answer any questions, because I have all of your emailed questions that I don't know if I'll even be able to get through. You guys are prolific questioners. But any questions about arrivals? Yes. I did skip over the money sheet. Let me show you the money sheet. Money. What about money in Rome and Israel? Use your credit card if you want. Many have no transaction fees, but if you use your credit card, every usage has an international transaction fee, so that can rack up. Special credit cards, some airlines, it's not like they're expensive ones, but some of them have no international transaction fee. Now, the ATM at the airport will give you the best euro or shekel rate. Right now, it was bobbing between $1.37 per euro to a maximum of $1.42. If you go to a changing place, like with traveler's checks or cash, you will pay their exchange fee, which is often like 3-4 euros, which is like $5 or $7. That's just for you to stand at their window for one fee. Plus, they always have a lower conversion rate. They rarely have the one that the ATM will have, because that's the international exchange rate that the ATM uses. Now, the ATM will charge you whatever the international fee is, like $3, $4. I don't know how much it is these days. So the idea with your money is make as few of whatever it is you're going to do as possible. You can even buddy up. The ATM at the airport last time allowed $350 U.S. And you say, well, I wasn't planning on spending that much. Well, then why don't you do it with a buddy? You know, and you guys figure out, calculate how much it is. But the fewer ATMs you, withdrawals you make, that's the ultimate deal. I was at the bank yesterday, and the lady said to me, she said, you would never want to take traveler's checks. She said, that's the worst thing to do. And I thought, you're the person selling the American Express traveler's checks. She says, well, you can't, you can only change them at certain places. She said, I'd use our ATM card. So I think PNC makes a lot of money off their ATM card. They were pushing it. But personally, I like the ATMs only because they're right in the airport. You can get enough for the whole trip. Plus, everywhere you'll see them. Now, one of you asked me, they said, we spent our whole time looking for a secure ATM. I don't know who asked that. And I thought, what's a secure ATM? You know, every bank in Italy and Israel has one sticking out of the wall of their branch. And you'll see all the common, everyday, normal people that don't dress in bright colors like we do. You can tell the tourists, we're all wearing pastels and our hats. And all the normal people that live over there wear dark colors, and they do not look flashy. And they're all standing there just getting their money. And so I don't know what a secure one is, but the one they use looks very safe to me, and we've always used it. The one at the airport often will have a line. So if you can get enough there to start or whatever. But that's what about money. Did I answer your question, Bob?
Yeah, what about Israel?
Israel's the same. Right there at that food court. Well, you can use euros in, they would prefer that in Israel. So you if you're going on to Israel, you will be happy to have euros because the dollar has fallen out of favor in Israel. But you can use dollars in Israel or shekels. Most groups, the only reason that I tell people to have, let's see, I'll just write right here. $1, you'll get something in Israel that costs about 5 shekels. But what you'll find if you look at the exchange rate, it's always cheaper to use shekels because the Jewish merchants always round up, always. So it's no deal using dollars or euros. Yeah, they're Jewish. That's right, Bob. So it's always cheaper if you use the local currency because it's on the menu that it's 12 shekels. But they'll say, oh, that'll be $4. And you go, $4? And they go, oh, well, and they act like, you know, they'll give you a little change. But you know what I mean? It's much cleaner when you're shopping in Israel to have shekels. But they do take dollars and they do take euros. Right, honey? And they do take credit cards. Except in the small shops. Good. Any other questions about money? Yes, yes.
If you're having trouble with anybody's ATM, can you have a specific bank?
Well, the only trouble you have with, well, in Rome, the only trouble I see is the ones that are blinking. That means they're broken or they're out of money.
I meant the card. Do you have to have like a Citibank ATM or a big...
Just the Cirrus, the normal. You know how it says on the back. Probably Discover. I mean, if you tried to use one of the off American cards, that might be harder, but the normal MasterCard Visa never had any trouble.
Even traveling outside the U.S., I have found a couple of times they have shut the card down because they didn't know where I was at, so it might be good to notify them where you're going.
Very good idea. Call ahead, so you're going to Italy and to Israel. Yes, ma'am.
And when you call ahead, it's a good time to just confirm what the charges are for transactions overseas. It's just great to ask again, because sometimes those things change and we miss it. when that doesn't concern us, but then all of a sudden you're traveling and you need to know that. And I would just say, too, that if you struggle with conversion of money, especially if you're going to Italy and Israel, by the time you get there you're confused. It's not like they're going to steal your money if you're using dollars. You can get along with using dollars and doing it that way. It's simpler for you. It's not huge amount.
We're talking, yeah, just, and I forget, for those of you that are listening on the 2/3 of the group aren't in this room, and I got emails from them, and they said, you don't repeat the questions. So Bonnie said, dollars are fine. And if you don't want to be going between shekels to euros and back and going through your purse, dollars, ones and fives and tens and twenties are fine. They will probably give you change in local currency, which is fine too. So that's number one. And what Dave said is, make sure you call your credit card, ATM, whatever, and tell them you're traveling from this state to this state. We've even found if you're normally in Michigan, then zip to Ohio, we've had them call us and say, are you in Ohio? And so the more they know, I love that they're watching out for us, but call ahead. And then Bob asked about ATMs and traveler's checks and all that, and that's what, so those of you watching the video, that's what we're talking about. Okay, any other questions before I go into your mailed-in ones? Yes, ma'am.
Sometimes even though you tell them you're traveling, they still have a problem, and so it's always a good idea to have a second credit card if you have one. We have experienced many times that we at length told them where we're going to be, place by place and date by date, and then arrived and had them shut off our credit card because they, you know, somebody pushed the button and deleted our phone call or something.
So take multiple credit cards for those of you at home that are listening to this video. And also another thing is tell your family at home to answer and say, yeah, my husband is in Italy. He is spending a family fortune, and I'm glad he is, you know, and have them when they're calling in and checking. Okay.
And leave a copy of your credit card with people at home so they have that information if you lose it or drop it in the future.
And a copy of your passport. Usually you should take a Xerox of your passport and have it in your suitcase. Because if you lose your passport, you can go to the consulates. You walk right by it in Jerusalem. You can go there and get another one quite rapidly if you have a copy. But if they have to establish your identity from nothing, I remember once we had a couple that they spent a whole day because they had lost something, and they missed the whole tour when if they would have had a copy with them. Okay, here are a few questions. Number one, would you recommend we take a tour of the Vatican or just explore it by ourselves? Is there a tour company you would recommend? The Vatican has, and I don't know which one of you asked that question, but the Vatican is endless. You could do a month in the Vatican. The Vatican is the largest collection of art by far in the world, and most of it you'll never see because it's in the basement, and it's only for the exclusive people or whatever. But the Vatican Museum takes days to go through. Just the museum, not even the church. The museum is like a labyrinth. So you can go on a tour, and I have gone on a tour, and tours are nice, except if what I mean. Have you ever had one of those great guides that you couldn't understand what they're saying? So the neat thing now is you can wear the little recorder and just take the self-guided tour. And the neat thing about the Vatican Museum is they have, I forget now, 3 or 4 different color walkways, and you follow the yellow, the blue, the red, the green, the black line. And one of them takes days, and one of them takes about 3 hours. And it's everything in between. And in the Vatican Museum, if you're never going to go to Rome again, I would really go to see the biblical part. You can actually see, the piece of fresco from the palace of Sargon. You can actually see the Assyrians, the ones that came and took away in 722 BC the northern kingdom of Israel. You can see what he looked like. You can see his writing. You can see the Jewish captives all inscribed in this. And they have that right in the biblical room. And that's just one of the multiple things they have. They have actual biblical artifacts that Israel doesn't even have. And the only place that outdoes Vatican Museum is the London Museum. London has more of everything I've ever seen anywhere from the Bible. Number two, will St. Peter's Basilica be our last stop? No. So that we can stay after the tour? No. We're walking from St. Peter's. We're not going to leave you there because we eat dinners together on all the nights but the free night. And so we're going to walk back. Some of you would be horrified to be left at the Vatican. And so we always get you safely home. And soon you're going to feel that the Piazza Navona is your second home. And why I say that is the Piazza Navona that is shaped like a racetrack that has an Egyptian obelisk in the middle is going to be one of your favorite places because we're going to be eating in the area around that many times. And the shopping is incredible in the middle of it. The ice cream right here is incredible. And on and on and on. My kids even, all of the local artists have their little booths right in the middle. And you can, it's just neat to see a young person just starting out doing their art and they'll talk your leg off and you can buy it and take it home with you. But so no, we won't be at St. Peter's as our last stop. And yes, you should go there on your own. When we go to St. Peter's, all we're going to do is I'm going to show you St. Peter's. I'm going to explain to you how it happened, give you a Bible study. We're going to take about a half hour to find a spot and do our Bible study based on what I show you. And then we're going to do a walkthrough inside and out. And the walkthrough is going to be with our three little teams, and we're going to meet at little stations. That is going to be, you're going to want to go back there. It's one of the most amazing places to go to. Number three, have you heard anything about the newly opened area of the Colosseum? Yes. Would that be a worthwhile tour to take? Yes. Now, when we go to the Colosseum on Monday, the bus picks us up at the Domus, motors us over to the Colosseum. We get a ticket to go to the Colosseum. To visit back again, you have to either buy a Roma Pass, and a Roma Pass, you can read about this online, is $20-some. And it lets you in two big sites, like the Colosseum and, you know, the, not Uffizi, the big gallery that's up on top of the hill. I don't even know the name of it, but the big gallery, you know, the biggest art gallery of ancient Roman stuff. It'll take you to two sites, and then all the other sites you get like 20% off. Plus, it lets you ride the subway for free for 3 days. So for any of you, you're on your free day, the Roma Pass, if you want to deeply look at the Colosseum, deeply look at this gallery, deeply look at the Forum area, which we will walk through and I will show you all the different, you know, the five different forums that are outside the Forum and the Mamertine and everything else. But if you want to spend 3 or 4 hours at any one of these, we're not doing that. You understand what I mean? This is an overview study, but not intricate look at all of, you know, you can go through Augustus's house, you can go through the Curia within the Forum. There's just endless things that are in there. And stop at the Arch of Titus and stop at Septimus Severus's arch and everything in between. We will just do a walk in up to the visitor box of the Colosseum, over to look at the new part, and out. And that will take an hour and a half. And that's no self-exploring. There are tens of thousands of people all like this. And so the only way you can do in depth is just be you and your wife or husband or family or whoever, and you go in. So if you want to do the Roma Pass, that will get you to the two big sites, all the subways you can ever want to use, in depth anywhere. For the Vatican, which is way over on the other side of town, the Vatican Museum is by appointment. And I would get your appointment. You can do it online now. You know when your free day is. And if you want to go to the Vatican Museum, I would get my tickets now. Don't wait. We got our tickets way ahead of time, months ahead of time last year when we went. You're not going to tell what happened, are you? No. Okay. I went in the wrong line and all the police came chasing after me. So don't do that. Very carefully follow the right line. I think I went in the Pope's line or something. So, get your tickets ahead of time. Will we have time to explore the sites on the tour, or should we plan to visit them again on our free day? You will have time. The purpose of this tour is that for every site we go to, you will understand the biblical significance, you'll understand where you are, and the impact that should have on your understanding of the Bible and of history. But you will not be able to walk, because we're moving on. Remember, we're walking. Did I say walking? Yeah. You've all caught this is a walking tour, except for when the bus roars us to the Colosseum, the Forum, the Domitilla Catacombs, which, by the way, are the biggest. If you've looked up Domitilla, it's incredible. It's the only one that has real bones in it. I mean, it's unbelievable, and they're letting us have a service there. It's going to be very special at the catacombs. But it's right on the Appian Way, and by the way, the other famous one, Calixtus, is right across the street. So you'll see all the catacombs, but we're going to the Domitilla. We're going to the Forum. We're going to the Colosseum, and the bus is taking us like this, and then the bus drops us off up here at the Pantheon, and we do the Pantheon, walk by Navona, and go over to the Trevi, and get back on the bus and go to the Domus, and it takes us home. And that's Monday's bus tour. And what you're going to see is that it's going to be rapid boom, 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 boom. And also the guide, I have rarely understood more than every other word of any of the guides. And so, but we're going to see all of these also ourselves. And we're going to have Bible studies at all of these. So you're going to know them well. You're going to see them twice. You're going to see the Colosseum twice with the guided tour. And then we're going to be, this is the Colosseum right here. Right above it is where we have our study. And it's in Nero's palace. We sit in Nero's palace because the Colosseum was built in the lake that Nero built for his palace. He had a 300-room palace that he had his parties in. It was called the Domus Aurea. And we're going to sit right up there looking at the Colosseum that was built after Nero's time. They filled in the lake he built and put the Colosseum on top of the lake. But this is, you'll see the Colosseum many times. The Forum area, the Mamertine is right there. We'll look at the Forum from outside. We'll look at it from the Colosseum into the Forum. You'll walk through the Forum. We'll have a Bible study here and up here looking at the Forum. And the same at the Domitilla. We'll have our, after the tour, I'll explain it. So, yes, you should do those on your free day if you want to go in depth. Here are more questions. What is the best option for getting a cell phone to use over there? I'm not sure where the over there is, but Israel has the Israel phone. We've used them 4 or 5 years. You just online, you and that was in some of the emails I sent you. And if you want to do that, you can send me another email. I'll give you the one we always use. They will leave it on your bed in your hotel room. When you get to Tel Aviv, it will be on your bed. And it's in a little packet, and you charge it up. You can call. It's 30 cents a minute or something. About now. Israel is $1 a day. It's called an Isra phone for renting it. And then approximately, and this was last time, 30 cents approximately a minute for outgoing calls to the U.S., and incoming calls are free. So your family can call you, but they're calling an international, and they can get a Walmart card and call you if you want them to. For Rome, there is no easy way for a Rome phone. What you can do is if you have a GSM phone that has the 800 to 1900 or whatever the bandwidth, I mean, it's the standard GSM range. If you have one of those, you can get a chip over there, and you can use it. And it's better to get a chip over there than to buy it on Amazon or something because it's much more expensive. But if you like to be fully prepared, you can do that. If you want to read about that, is it Rick Steves? Is that his name? He has pages online. This is Mr. Tour, the popular tour man right now, Rick Steves. I think that's how you spell his name. He has two pages online that explain all of this, where to go, every shop. People that travel a lot, they just have one of these kind of phones that's unlocked or whatever, broken, and they just put in chips. And you can get a chip in Israel, too, right at the airport, right where you're waiting for Ellie. They'll sell you chips that you can stick in your phone to use. But all that to say, there's nothing easy except this rent-the-phone thing. This takes a little planning. Next question. Will there be time for the tour to do any exploring in places like, well, this is a similar question, like the Colosseum, or should we schedule that for our free time? You'll be in there, but you should do it on your free time if you really want to go through that new part. Did you give the CBC folks a handout that had Bonnie's packing list? Yes. It looked like you held it up. Where is it? Email me. I'll send it to you, whoever asked that. Can you spend traveler's checks in Rome? Yes. I know we've used them for past trips, but I don't know whether you could use them overseas and save ATM fees. The bank told me this week that they're hard to cash. Only certain places, like at the airport, use traveler's checks. In Rome, I'm not sure, except at the train station where you change those. Does anybody know traveler's checks? So I'm not an expert on traveler's checks. So there. Okay, here's some more. What about an RFID wallet? What that means is, all of the your passport has a little chip, RFID chip in it. I don't know. You can read Rick Steves about that. You don't have to worry about secure ATM machines. What about your passports? You can read the rules about passports. What I do in Israel is I leave my passport in the hotel safe. What I do in Rome is I carry it with me. Just because I know Israel well, but I don't know those carbonaries that well in Rome. And if they walked up and asked me for my ID, I don't want them to take my wife. And so I carry my passport with me. And, they have those money things that stick on your belt, or you can have the one that's in your shirt, or you can have it in your pocket or whatever. But I usually, in Rome, keep my passport with me. If you lose it, we'll see you, because you have to wait to get it. So some people prefer to leave their passport in the hotel safe in your room so they don't lose it. But that's a choice you make. We don't have a group policy about that. Yes, we'll be having baptisms in Israel. Yes, there will be swimming in Israel. Do you need a secure waterproof document container? No, because when we're baptized, not everybody's baptized, and for those of you going to Israel, and usually the ones that have already been baptized guard all the bags so they aren't going to get near the water, and you can leave your camera, your wallet, your life savings right there with the guard, and they guard it very carefully. And then you come after you're baptized on the way to the changing room and you take your stuff with you. For the swimming, the only swimming will be at the hotels. And so you will lock your stuff in the room. You don't have to take it with you. The little hotel safe. So the waterproof document container, is nice, but I don't think you need it. Yes, if you want to enroll in the Smart Travelers program, it's wonderful. And I would take whatever kind of camera that you're comfortable with. And like I said before, walk around and practice and get whatever you're comfortable with. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Is there a safe in the Dominic in the hotel rooms?
That's a good question. I do not know. Did you check online?
I think there is. I read it, and I'm pretty sure there is. I remember they have a hair dryer, and I believe they have the safe as well.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I need a hair dryer, too, for both of my hairs. But I know that the Notre Dame does, and I know the Scots does, but I don't. But Bonnie checked the Domus, so that's good. Any other questions? Here.
I just have a comment about Rome.
Yes.
They have notoriously good pickpockets there, and so you will have to take provision to make sure that your wallet or whatever valuables you have are secured. When we were over there before, we were just out shopping, and we had been warned about this. And so we had been tightly guarding our wallets and our front pockets, and sure enough, in a big crowd, somebody walked by behind us and tried to lift our wallet out of our back pocket. Fortunately, we didn't have it back there. So, yeah, just be aware.
Yes. Front pocket's better. The little, you know, around the neck, you pull out, that has your passport and money. Few thieves will, you know, I mean, it's a quick bump is what they're looking for. And we have had pilgrims robbed in Jerusalem, primarily on the Via Dolorosa. That's the most dangerous. And the thing to do is you don't go, well, let me, you know, anything that's out is so quickly lost, and you don't have it there. You know, you just switch to the front and walk with your hands in your pockets, and it's easy. In Rome, remember, we're walking. Bonnie said she wasn't sure I emphasized this enough. When we leave after breakfast at 8:45 on Sunday morning, you will not see the hotel again until, I mean, if you cut out of dinner with us, 6:30 at night. So everything that you need, you carry the whole day. So I pare it down. I have my Bible, my journal, my camera, my little backpack for anything Bonnie buys. You can get one of those string backpacks, you know, that just you can keep putting more and more in it. And the idea is light. You know, your pen, your money. And on the water, I risked my life and drank water in Rome last time. Everywhere you go in Rome, there are these, like at Nero's tomb, coming right out of his tomb is ice-cold spring water. It's coming in an arc out of a 1,000 or 2,000 year old spigot, and everybody with me said, oh, you're going to get dysentery and cholera and everything. Did you know Rome's water is still flowing from 2,000 years ago? It is still coming out of the rocks of the whatever the mountain range is up there. What is it? Apennine or Apennine, whatever. What's up there? Anybody know? Geographers? And the water is grade A certified. You can drink it, you can fill your bottle from it. You can wash your face with it. And so, you know, you don't have to carry a 3-liter water bottle. You will see these little, the normal people just refill their little water bottle everywhere. Or if you're very conscious, you can buy one and split it, like I said before. But when we leave at 8:45, we walk for 9 minutes to the subway station. We ride the subway station for 10 minutes. We get off on Sunday, you know, at the Republicana, and all of you, Piazza Repubblica, you're going to not even want to leave there. It's so beautiful. Or Barberina or wherever we go. And then we go to the sites, and then we'll walk back, get on the subway, go to another one. So it's walking, eating on the street in cafes, sitting at tables. It's buying ice cream. And you want to have something where you don't have to have anything in your hands, because either you're going to be taking a picture or you're going to be reading and writing, or you're going to be drinking or eating or licking ice cream cones. You understand what I mean? So that's why the more practice at home, the better. Figure out your backpack. Little. Fit in your stuff. What'd they leave off?
I don't know, but the Sesteriana does have safe deposit.
Good. Good. I call Bonnie the power iPhone user. She can find anything on her iPhone, look it up for me. It's very helpful. Yes, Bob.
Each evening, then we will have time to deprocess, you know, upload pictures, do, there's time in the evening to do without being exhausted.
Yes, yes. Well, what I have planned in is this, that we get done, actually, by 5 p.m., we're done with whatever devotional touring. But remember, they shut everything down in Rome from, what is it, 2:30 to 4, or I don't know what it is, but they have this monstrous siesta thing where they close down most things. So we're scheduling, actually, if we wanted to be like Romans, we would all get up at 10 a.m. We would start touring at noon, and we'd tour till about 8. That's how they do it. But we aren't geared that way. You know, we get tired and we feel funny sleeping in until, I mean, we'll wake up at 6 and then sit there waiting to go out. So we're not going to do that. We're gonna leave at the normal time. Breakfast is over at 8:30. We leave at 8:45. But I plan to be done touring at 5. And what I do is I say, if you want to come with the group for dinner. Now it's what do they call it in this side of Michigan? Dutch treat or whatever. That means all the Dutch people are paying for it. So if you're Dutch, watch out. And we're going to eat together if you want to. And what I'm going to do is that's when you wouldn't believe how many questions you're going to have. You're going to have your journal. I see this, and people say, okay, when we were at the Domitilla, who is it that gave that? And I'll say, well, it was, you know, Emperor so-and-so's daughter donated the land. And they write it in. Or someone will say, where is the reference that it says that the Piazza Navona is in the Bible? The word for this is in the Bible. It's the word agon, agonizomai. And you're actually in the plaza of the agony that's mentioned in the Bible and was there in Bible times. So, I mean, so that's where we're going to eat. Now, if you don't want to, if you're tired at 5 p.m. And don't want to go to dinner, you can go back to the Domus, and I will get you to the subway and you'll understand how to do it. But probably we will get to this piazza at about 6 p.m. and find our place to eat. And it isn't fast. We'll probably eat till 7, 7:30. Get back by 8 if you want to go to the Domus, back to the room. But when we were there last year, everybody stayed out till 10 at least. I mean, Rome comes alive at about 9 at night. Now, we don't. But you know what? You're only on this trip once. You might as well just be dead tired. You can rest in Israel. But there will be the option at 5 p.m. if you're dead tired. It's not going to be like it's going to kill you. You can go back to the Domus. You can sit and eat with us and rush back and not, because what we'll do is walking from Navona, we'll walk at 7:30 to the Pantheon. Then we'll walk to the Trevi. Then we'll walk to the Spagna, the Spanish Steps. And we'll be losing people all along. But that's the idea. It's beautiful. Any other questions before we have to go? He has to take this board away in 3 minutes. So, any other questions? Yes, Eileen.
I carry a backpack when I travel, so that would be fine to take.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a regular backpack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, any kind of backpack. I just get the string because the string weighs 3 ounces and my backpack starts at 2 pounds. You know what I mean? It gets heavier and heavier. And it takes room up in the bag. See, that's, again, you have to figure out how all this. Ah, very good. If you're familiar, I'd use your familiar stuff. Anything else? Israel, no, is different. Israel is very regulated. Israel, we get on the bus usually about 8:15. We ride the bus all day. The bus gets us back at 5. We eat lunch somewhere on the way. And then when the bus drops us off at 5 p.m., it goes to wherever we're staying and drops everybody off. Or when you're in Jerusalem for those 5 days, you can actually, this is what I do. I just get off the bus wherever, you know, by the old city that I want to go to save walking to it, and just walk around until supper, which they give us a supper time. Usually it's about 6:30. They'll give you a frame at each hotel. They'll tell you your eating time is, you know, from 6 to 6:30 or from 7 to whatever. And that's our group feeding time. And so for me, it's fun to walk through the old city. The old city is perfect at 5 because all the tourists are gone. There are no tourists left. And it's just kind of like it's supposed to be. When you're there in the morning and the afternoon, it's like this. You know, and we're walking, you're trying to see the person you don't want to lose as we're going through the labyrinth. At 5 o'clock, it's just like it's yours. And if you go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, you can spend an hour there with no crowds. You can go down to the quarry where it could be the very spot where Christ was buried. I mean, all by yourself. And it's safe. And it's beautiful. Just one quick, before he comes, the city of Jerusalem is something like this, shaped like that. Our hotel, this is the new gate, and our hotel, the Notre Dame, is right here. Looks like a castle. You can walk across the street into the old city. This is the Jaffa Gate. This is the Dung Gate. This is the Zion Gate. This is the Damascus Gate. Here's the Garden Tomb right here, 5 minutes from the Damascus Gate, about 8 minutes from our hotel. The Garden Tomb is open all the time. You can go there if you want. The Temple Mount is right there. The Wailing Wall is right there. This is the Jewish Quarter right here. This is the best part of the whole city right here. This is the Armenian Quarter right there. There's hardly anything there. Just pottery that you can buy, but most of it's locked up. This is the Christian Quarter with the Church of the Holy Sepulchre right there. And this is the Muslim Quarter. And the Muslim Quarter is a little scary, but it's safe if you stay on either the main drag going this way or the main drag going this way. It does get a little frightening, but I would never be alone, and don't be there after dark. But, and here's the Stephen's Gate, or Lion's Gate, it's also called, and this is called the Via Dolorosa, right? It goes just like this. And right here, where the Via Dolorosa intersects with the road that goes to the Wailing Wall, is the Austrian Hospice, and that is one of the funnest places in the city to go. You go in there, and you can be above all the hubbub of the city and have streusel and drink cappuccino or hot chocolate right there in the Muslim Quarter. Right above this is what's called the Muristan. It's the old hospital in the Christian Quarter. That is one of the best places to shop, eat, and everything. But you'll get to know Jerusalem like the back of your hand. The Jewish Quarter is the safest, especially the Cardo, which is, it comes straight down from the Damascus Gate and goes to the down to the Dung Gate. Underground there in the Cardo, it's called, is actually the first century level of the city, and you can shop down there and eat down there and everything. But you can either ride the bus and get here at 5 p.m. and take time to change your clothes and everything, go into the city, or eat dinner and go into the city at 6:30 after dinner and walk around. Right here is a pedestrian mall that's, it's called, I forget what it's called. What's it called? Mamala. Yeah. It is one of the nicest malls you've ever seen. Everything's way too expensive to buy, but they have Wi-Fi free. They have coffee shops there, bookstores. Totally. And it goes all the way up to right across the street from our hotel. So you can actually go in, walk through a mall, and come in the Jaffa Gate. It's all connected. Jerusalem is just, I could live there. If I could figure out how to support myself, I would live there. You know, I think I have Jerusalem fever. They say people have that. Okay, Dan's going to take our, you can take it, Dan. I told him I'd talk until you got here. So any questions? And he can take that away. Thanks, brother. Anything else before we go? This is our last meeting. Everything else is going to have to be by email. Yes, Bob.
It's the Yacht Hotel, about 2.8 miles from the airport last night. You mentioned that the bus would drop people off at the Renaissance. Would they be willing to drop off people on the
Yes,
way to the
yes,
airport?
Because they're going to the airport.
Okay.
And yes, anything 2 miles from the airport. All of them are together, by the way. All those airport hotels are together, and we have people that stay there. Yeah, and it's very easy to get from there for your flight. Good. Yeah, and what will happen is you guys, Ellie, our guide, those of you going to Israel, is unbelievable. Once he knows you need to do something, he will help you. And if there's anything you want to buy over there in Israel, now Silvio, our Rome guy, is sharp too, but Ellie I've known for 14 years. And if you want a special olive wood piece or, my wedding ring is from Jerusalem. Ellie's relatives run a beautiful jewelry place that does castings. This is a casting of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. They will make anything that you want out of gold or sterling silver. And they'll come right to our hotel. They measure you. And it's part of how you support Israel. I mean, it's helping their economy. We usually have the jewelry man come. You can get your name in Hebrew, in sterling silver. There are a lot of nice biblical things that you can get there. Any other questions? Okay. Let's close in prayer. How about Bob Barnes, who is going to be amazing. You're taking your iPad with you?
No.
Oh, as I say, he's going to be amazing. Oh, as I say, he's going to be amazing with that iPad all over. Would you mind closing us in prayer and asking the Lord to just get us ready?